100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon coming to you from the sofa using my Yeti microphone, not laying back and using the headset. That would be lazy. Too lazy even for me. Although I'm not going to turn off the air conditioning. Weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with a 100-word story. You heard of it? Well, it's right here. One a day until the day I die.com, not dead yet. Let's hear some stories from you. Because the topic was, as he looks at the thing, pick two. Track. Jill. Pinkerton. Blasphemous. Contusion. Orc. Zither. And neutral. Bunch of stories, bunch of people sending them in. Go to the site, look at the post, and you'll see the list. Some names will be familiar, probably all of them. We're like a family now, a crazy Manson-like family. Yeah, and you're the daddy, not me. Oh, please, don't put me in that chair. Put me in the electric chair instead. Ooh, nice and vibratey. So let's hear some stories. I know you'll like them.
Tora Brazino here, and for this pick too, I've chosen the words Orc and Jill. The three orcs sat round the fire, gnawing on the bones of an elf. "You ever wonder," began Hracht. "Wanderings for elves and humans," grunted Gnurgle. "I thought," said Hracht. "Ooh, thinking now, is he?" mocked Rabjag. "You know Hracht's here is only half an orc," said Gnurgle. "You and mother must have scared her when he came out." Hracht remained silent. How could he tell them that he didn't feel like an orc at all? That he dreamed of belonging to one of the fair races, like the one they had just eaten? In his dreams, she called herself Jill.
Good morning, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 579, and it's a pick two. And I have two stories for you. Well, it's one story in two parts, which I realize is a small cheat, but there it is. So my first story is called Private Dick, Part One. Young Jill Pinkerton. Yes, of those Pinkertons, some number of generations removed from the great Allen, sat in her car, idling in neutral to stave off some of the cold. A tap at her window caught her attention. She opened the window with a punch of the power button, only to see the quarry she was tracking, a zither-playing orc. It was one of those days.
"Why you follow me?"
the orc growled, smacking Jill in the head, leaving a large contusion the next day. Without waiting for a reply, the orc wandered off, playing the theme from The Third Man. And my second story is called Private Dick, Part Two. Jill's client was a foul-mouthed, blasphemous priest who had been swindled by the orc. He had peeled off a number of large denomination bills from a huge wad, swearing the entire time. He never explained how the orc swindled him, but it was clear that he held a grudge. As she recovered from the orc's blow, she reconsidered her career. Everyone expected a Pinkerton to go into the family business, but this day convinced her she was in the wrong profession. Maybe she'd open a small tea room. She'd ban all priests, orcs, and yes, zithers too. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with no stories about orcs or zithers. I hope.
Good morning. This is Richard, and this is Blasphemy.
They'll stone you for a bit of gentle mockery. Blow your brains out just for a satirical cartoon or imagined slight. Somehow, they manage to argue it's justifiable. No matter what common decency, morality, or law might say, it's protecting the faith, living according to the Holy Scripture, following the one pure way. I try to stay neutral in such things, no matter what my personal feelings, but sometimes the truth has to be spoken. After all, what's more blasphemous? Speaking out against a warped ideology, or blowing up kids at pop concerts in the name of religion?
Battle Night by John DeCleese. Jill Pinkerton, on the track of an orc who, she was assured, was neutral in the current phase of the battle, had suffered a contusion when she fell from a ledge, overwhelmed by the sound of the blasphemous music of an infernal zither. Now she lay on the rocks, breathing as quietly as she could, hoping the blood from the wound would not attract the attention of any of the evil things that roamed the rocky canyons at the edge of the dark border. The soft plangency of the plucked and strummed strings continued to lure her toward dangerous sleep.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. My story this evening is called Can't Fool Me. In 1894, my mother's family was involved in the Pullman strike. Not many words were spoken about their stand. All the same, the general feeling in that end of the family was never cross the line. My father, not one to let in-laws' opinions sway him, took a job as a weekend Pinkerton. My mom's split loyalty settled into an uncomfortable neutral gray. On the other hand, I was confirmedly in the red camp. This didn't stop me from joining him backstage at the Monkey Show, or James Brown, or the Jackson 5. Live music trumps principles every time. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
After the new school track opened, Jill Juicy Banna was the first to run the inner lane naked, while chased by the Pinkerton guards that were on duty. Her behavior was heinously blasphemous. Earlier she was responsible for the GM's contusion, and for breaking the large orc figurine he had on his office desk. Displaying and demonstrating several yoga and sexual postures, unsolicited, for the general manager, she snapped all the strings on his zither, trying to prove that she was completely neutral about the outcome of the current relationship and the clumsy advances of the GM and the coaching staff.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of the YA Books Podcast. And this is the 100-word podcast weekly challenge, number 579, with the prompt of pick two. It's kind of a stupid story, but here we go. Deep in the forest, Jill and I followed the track of the blasphemous Pinkerton brothers. What they had done, which was so offensive to the moral majority, to earn that title was unclear. What was clear was that whoever caught them would be rewarded most handsomely. Morally neutral and already beautiful, Jill didn't need the reward. I was the one who looked like an orc with facial contusions. Any reward that would make me more handsome was worth the effort. Zither birds, named after their distinctive call, burst from a grove of trees, pointing us to the brothers' probable location. Thanks for listening to my stupid story, and we'll see you next week.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. I lay down across the track, preparing for the end. It's not like you imagine. It's uncomfortable, cold, dirty. You'd like your final moments to be a time of reflection and peace, but all you can think about are the stones in your back and the awkward way your neck rests against the rail. The driver saw me well in advance, hit the brakes, and my world filled with the sound of screaming, tortured steel. So much for suicide. I walked away with just a minor contusion. Unlike the train passengers, whose broken bodies they pulled from the mangled wreckage.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. I called it Mean Orc. So, here it goes. Peter and Matt, two friends of the orc, were talking in the hospital corridor. No orc should have to go through this. The contusion was serious, and now he's talking funny. Everyone is laughing at him. Peter rolled his eyes in disgust. Well, I suppose, replied Matt. But he was always slightly mean. Don't you remember when I really don't care? He should be respected. He's fragile now. Suddenly, the orc died. Peter waved. Matt got closer.
I killed him,
whispered Peter. What on earth? Why? I was talking to him and man, did he have a mean bad breath. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Capone had rivals. Lots of rivals. Sometimes the cops would pick them up and take them to jail. Capone would send a woman to the courthouse or jail. She'd have a briefcase full of money. The money was for bail and a little extra for the judge or court clerk. So they'd let out Capone's rival. His men would be waiting outside. They'd pick up the guy, and after a few days, he'd turn up dead. The woman would come back with her briefcase and collect the bail money. She'd set it aside, ready for the next time Capone called.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on, well, a bunch of topics. It's a pick two. You pick two. You came up with the story. You sent it in. Here it was. Way to go. Yay. 12th anniversary of this podcast is coming up on Wednesday. Wow. This is what happens when you don't give up. When you probably should. Do you hear any advertisements? No. Do you hear any podcast networks? No. Do you hear any begging for money? Well, probably from some of the people sending the stories, but from me, no. I don't need them and NPR crap. I don't need no earwolf or whatever. Probably do, but no, I don't. I'm in serious denial. I just enjoy this. This is fun. I mean, George was a pirate, right? But he wasn't a very good... Hey, I'm a writer. I'm a podcaster. But I'm not a very good one. That's all right by me. Thank you for being a part of this. no matter how long you've been it, even if you've given up. You've been a part of this. You can't wash that off. Keep scrubbing. No, really. Thank you all for being with me on this journey. We've got a long way to go, I think. One a day until the day I die.com once again. And as always, keep it brief.